This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Happy snow days, everybody. Happy snow days. I was talking to Sean McCord. It's like, for those of us who haven't been working on the last weekends, how nice is it to have it snow on Friday night? I only have to call work and make sure that everybody's there and doing well and tell them that I can't get there because I'm too far away from home. Let me thank the folks at Lexington's N95.3 for listening today. Thank you so much. And the folks at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be on air. I want to remind you that winter in Virginia is cold and wet and doesn't end till late March. But you can keep yourself warm and dry by visiting Blue Ridge Mountain Sports to see their selection of Gore-Tex outerwear and footwear, as well as Smart Wool socks, hats, and gloves. That's Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Show Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're at Wintergreen, the Chesterfield Town Center, and West Broad Street, Richmond, and online, brms.com. We will be doing our show today by telephone. We'll be talking about Virginians Against the Death Penalty. That's an organization whose executive director is Beth Penelitis. And let's fire up the phone now. Beth, are you there?
I'm here, Rick.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Things seem to be coming through quite well. I appreciate you coming on today, even if it's by cell phone, sitting in a nice cozy corner of your house. We are going to be talking. You are the executive director, correct, of VADP?
I am. VADP is Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty.
All right. Tell me, let's just jump right into things. 1104 here on WNRN. What is the role, the mission of VADP?
VADP is a statewide citizens organization, and we're dedicated to educating the public and lawmakers on alternatives to the death penalty and advocating for reforms and ultimately repeal of the death penalty in Virginia. And we do that through educational events across the state, and also legislative advocacy in Richmond at the General Assembly.
Is there an organization sort of opposite you, an organization that's pro death penalty?
There isn't an organized group of folks that advocate for the death penalty. There are some websites nationally that are pro death penalty type sites. However, they don't have really the grassroots support that VADP has, or that other groups like VADP have in other states. And we have about 3,500 folks who are members of VADP all across Virginia, who call their lawmakers, who attend events, who do things like that, and there isn't really the comparable type organization on the other side of the issue.
But in the state of Virginia, is VADP, Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, we are talking with the executive director, Beth Penelitis, are you a minority organization when it comes to this topic?
Well, it's interesting. I think you can sort of see when you're looking at the General Assembly and people who are advocating around the death penalty, there are a lot of groups that have the death penalty as part of their mission. VADP works with the ACLU of Virginia, the Virginia Catholic Conference, the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, which are all groups that part of their mission is to advocate against the death penalty. There really aren't groups that have on their agenda working to expand the death penalty or keep it in Virginia. And so in many ways, we're not the minority, and I think, you know, you look at public opinion polls, and it continues to shift in the direction of people favoring the death penalty less and less. The more that people see how broken the capital justice system is, the less support you have for it across the state.
All right, you said expand the death penalty. I mean, to myself, and again, as another topic that I learned more about in preparation, doing my homework for you being today's guest, how much more expansion can there be for the death penalty? I mean, Virginia is one of the, whether you call it best or worst states in applying the death penalty to the criminal justice system. How much more expansion can there be?
That's a question that actually terrifies me, because I'm not sure how much further we can go. For those listeners who don't know, Virginia is actually second only to Texas in the number of executions we've carried out in the past 30 years. The majority of executions that are carried out in the country happen in the South. It's about 92% of executions happen in the South. The majority of those happen in Texas and Virginia, and so we already have a very expansive and active death penalty. However, there have been pushes over the past few years in the General Assembly to continue to expand the number of crimes that one can receive a death sentence for. And some of the bills that we're working on now, there's actually six bills to expand those crimes. And one of them is to include accomplices, people who actually didn't commit a murder, but just happened to be there, happened to be at a robbery that went wrong. And so, you know, I think it's something that it's scary that I'm not sure how far we can go. But there are definitely attempts to continue executing people in record numbers here in Virginia.
This is WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. It's 11:09 here on a snowy Sunday. We're talking with the executive director of the VADP, that's Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, with Beth Penelitis. Beth is participating by phone today from a snowed-in Richmond. But feel free to call up. I see somebody ringing in now. And we'll pass your question through to Beth. 979-0919 is ringing up, but the toll-free number is available, 1-877-967-6762. You just won't be able to hear your voice on the radio, just my sexy voice and Beth's. Beth, let's talk a minute about what the VADP feels is the problem with the death penalty, because there are many people who think that that's, if not the best, certainly an appropriate method for justice. So why is there an organization that feels that it's inappropriate, inaccurate, unfair, whatever?
Well, our members look at it, I think, through a few different lenses. One, you know, there are a lot of our members who are morally opposed to the death penalty. VADP's official stance is that the capital justice system in Virginia is a broken, failed public policy. You know, over the years, we keep learning more and more about innocence and how innocent people are sentenced to death, how innocent people are executed, and it brings up questions of, you know, how many guilty people do we need to put to death to make it okay to have an innocent person executed? And we also look at fairness and the fact that the death penalty is applied in an incredibly arbitrary application, not based on the crimes that are committed, but based on issues like race and geography and socioeconomic status. And in addition to that, there really isn't a deterrent factor. And so having the death penalty is not making anyone in Virginia any safer. And what it does is that it takes resources away from things that actually will make citizens safer, that there is an incredibly large financial cost of having the death penalty. And so we take all of these resources away from law enforcement, away from actually addressing the issues that could reduce crime.
Well, let's jump into those one by one. I mean, let's start with what would seem to be the most important one, which is innocence. You're saying that the VADP is saying that innocent people are being put to death.
Well, there, over the past 30 years, there have been 139 men and women who have been exonerated from death row. That means 139 people who have been wrongfully convicted, wrongfully sentenced to death. And thankfully, that was found out before they were executed. And these are people who have spent, you know, sometimes decades on death row, waiting to be executed for crimes that they didn't commit. The number of people that have actually been executed were a little bit less clear on, because there are times that, you know, questions will linger after an execution takes place, and so we're not exactly sure on those figures. But there was, the ADP did a statewide tour in October, and we actually had a stop in Charlottesville, where Shabaka Qualimi, who's a death row exoneree, came and told his story. And I think it's very difficult to think about the death penalty in the same way when you have someone who came within 15 hours of being executed. He was on Florida's death row. You know, he, for weeks, was in a cell adjacent to the electric chair, and they tested it twice a day, every day. And he was sure that he was going to be executed for something he didn't do. And thankfully, new evidence was found. Thankfully, the courts did the right thing. But this is someone who the state very, very came very close to actually murdering.
I'm sure that there are many people out there who would say, well, that's just a bad, you know, something bad that happens to accomplish something that's important. Some people might be killed who are innocent, but it's much more important to show the justice for those who do become killed. Are there any statistics? You know, you said 100 and how many?
139.
139. What is that in comparison to the number of individuals who have eventually suffered death through the death penalty during the same time period? Do we know?
It's about, for the number of people who have been executed, compared to that number, it's about 10% exonerations, 90% executions. So we're looking at getting it wrong a huge number of times. You know, if we're looking at one in 10 people are innocent, you know, those are statistics that I'm not comfortable with. And I'm not comfortable with my government making those decisions, because it could be any one of us. You know, it could be family members of ours. It could be friends who are wrongfully sentenced to death, and I'm not willing to take that risk. And I think there's a lot of people who aren't willing to take that risk.
Sunday morning wake-up call here on WNRN. It's 11:15. The guest today is Beth Penelitis. She's the executive director for the VADP, the Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Call up with your question or comment, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free number. If you're sitting at home on a snowy Sunday, call us up. I'd love to hear from some people as to whether or not 1 in 10 is acceptable, who find that it's much more important to take care of those who have committed the crime, and that's just an acceptable percentage of those who are treated unfairly or incorrectly. Beth, here's a question from Scott from Charlottesville. From historical perspective, why is Virginia, along with Texas, an isolated packet of support for the death penalty?
Thank you for your question, Scott. It's a hard question to answer. I think if we look at the South being states that really more actively use the death penalty, I think there is a component of it that has to do with, racism that has been institutionalized. If you look at the people who we are executing, the majority of them are people of color. And so there's that component to it. When the Supreme Court in the 1970s overturned the death penalty and then states reinstituted it a few years later with different criteria. And some states decided that they wouldn't reinstitute it, that they would just be states without the death penalty. And West Virginia was one of those. And so our neighboring state decided not to do that, and Virginia did. I think that it's political, you know, there's a lot of political realities to it that legislators and folks in state general assemblies, whatever the feeling there was, that they thought public opinion favored it more. And so that's one of the reasons that I think it was reinstituted. So that's, in some ways, it's still a mystery to me of why Virginia is so active.
Well, stereotypical, no doubt, but what are the comparisons from Virginia and Texas to Georgia or Mississippi? States that I would assume, whether it's based on books or movies or facts, that might have similar or even more problems in the socioeconomic unfairness.
Georgia and Mississippi are actually two states that also do execute in fairly large numbers. And so I think they fit into that. Virginia, for some reason, I think because when we started reinstituting the death penalty in the 70s and started executing people in the 1980s, there was not very good defense work. And so, you know, people were executed very quickly, very early on, I think, which is why our numbers ended up being so high. Sadly, states like Georgia and Mississippi and Oklahoma are in many ways catching up with Virginia as far as the number of executions that they have.
And I believe one of the bits of homework I found is that Florida has, if not the largest, possibly one of the largest numbers of individuals who are found to actually be innocent.
Mm-hmm. Florida has really, really large numbers of exonerations, along with Illinois. Illinois was another state that has exonerated over a dozen people. There's a lot of different arguments for why that might be. You know, some of that is corruption. Some of it is really poor defense work. Illinois, a lot of the reasons for that was corruption. And Florida, there's a little bit of that too.
All right, 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call with our guest, Beth Penelitis. She's the executive director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Dial up and make your call, your question, if you'd like, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can even send us an email, send me a instant message. I'll get that. WNRN Studio on the AOL system. Markets of Togrefeu forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 31, lower 30s in Lynchburg and Richmond. Clear and cold tonight, lows is 8. Woo! Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs about 38. Right now it's nice and bright, sunny and white across the listening area. 14 in the valley, 23 in Lynchburg, 24 in Richmond, 22 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Alt Energy for allowing us to be here this hour. Alt Energy of Charlottesville, designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in just a few years, all while reducing your carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by showering instead of taking a bath and having the kids turn off the lights when they leave the room. More can be found all online at AltEnergyIncorporated.com. All right, back with Beth. You still there?
I'm here.
All right, I love it when guests are by phone. I can't see that. I can see that you've left the room if you're in front of me, but online, again, Beth Penelitis, Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Beth, you mentioned deterrence as one of the flaws in the death penalty system. Who says that the death penalty doesn't actually deter crime?
Well, there have been a lot of studies that have been conducted that have not been able to show a correlation between, you know, having the death penalty and being able to deter crime. And so when, I think it's one of those reasons that people use quite a bit, just in general conversation, if we need the death penalty to stop these horrific crimes that are going to happen, consistently states that don't have the death penalty have lower murder rates than states that do. And I've mentioned actually West Virginia being a state that doesn't have the death penalty. Right next door, they have consistently had lower murder rates than Virginia does. Same thing, Connecticut and Massachusetts are two states that are right next to each other that one has the death penalty, one doesn't. Massachusetts without the death penalty consistently has lower murder rates. And there have been a few surveys that have been done in 2009 of both criminologists and police chiefs that have shown that these professionals who work in criminal justice don't see it as being a deterrent. Police chiefs actually ranked it as the they put it last as factors that would reduce violent crime. You know, having more police officers, better economy, all of these other things are placed above the death penalty as far as things that can keep people safer.
You mentioned states that are next to one another, Virginia and North Carolina. And there's North Carolina has done something recently, or the Racial Justice Act. Tell me a little bit about that.
North Carolina in 2009 passed a sort of monumental legislation that the Racial Justice Act, what it says is that individuals who have been sentenced to death can appeal their death sentence based on racial bias. And in all states that have the death penalty, there's an issue as far as racial bias. North Carolina, it is very pronounced that the number of people who are sentenced to death are primarily people of color, and so what this does is that it really opens the door for individuals to be able to show, you know, I was sentenced to death because of this arbitrary application of the death penalty. And if you can, if you're a person of color and you were sentenced to death, if you can find a comparable case of someone who is white who was sentenced to death for a very similar crime, you have a strong appeals case. So that will really change the way that the death penalty is applied in North Carolina.
We are talking with Beth Penelitis. She's the executive director for Virginians for Alternatives for the Death Penalty. 979-0919 if you have a question or a comment for Beth. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sean McCord made the effort to drive in today to help put the show together. Call up. He'll take your question and pass it along. Beth, here's a question from a caller. What do you think of Saddam Hussein being executed?
Well, Saddam Hussein wasn't executed in Virginia, so technically VADP does not have a position on it. But we are opposed to the death penalty across the board. And looking at it, there are so many ways that we can keep people safe without executing them. And, you know, there's been so much discussion over the past decade about terrorism and things like that. And what you do sometimes when you have someone who has committed horrific things, and in no way do we justify what Saddam Hussein or so many other people have done, but when they're executed, they actually become a martyr for their cause, and sometimes can strengthen the folks that may be supportive of them. And so I don't think that we are necessarily safer because Saddam Hussein was executed, or we're safer because the 105 men in Virginia have been executed over the past 30 years, that there are better ways that we can use our resources.
All right. Call up with your question or comment. 979-0919 is currently available. Beth, let me ask, we talked a little bit about the flaws in the system. innocence, deterrence, arbitrary application. Do you have any statistics to go with that? I mean, you mentioned socioeconomic status. It seems to be a larger, you mentioned race being a part of the North Carolina Act from 2009. Give me some numbers to go with this. Convince me that this is actually a flaw in the system.
Sure. Well, I can give you some Virginia-specific numbers, that there was a study that was done in 2002 that found that in Virginia, a person is over three times as likely to be sentenced to death when the victim of a crime is white versus when the victim of a crime is black. And so it's not just the race of the defendant, but the race of the victim plays a major role. And I think it also goes to show really how we're judging people's worth, that are you worth someone being sentenced to death for your murder? Geography was another component that I said. And in addition to so many of those executions being carried out in just a few states, in Virginia, you are twice as likely to receive a death sentence in a suburban or rural jurisdiction versus in an urban jurisdiction. And so much of it depends on where the crime took place, not what the crime was. If, you know, the same crime takes place in Richmond City as it, and a similar crime happens in, say, Prince William County, you probably will be sentenced to death in Prince William County, but not in Richmond City. And it probably will not even be brought up as a capital crime. And so you actually find many of the death sentences in Virginia and across the country are focused only in certain jurisdictions. Part of that has to do with prosecutorial discretion. Part of it has to do with, the community. So we're not sentencing people based on what they did. We're sentencing them based on who they are, who they killed, and where it happened. And the socioeconomic status component of it, you will not find a millionaire on death row in Virginia. If you have the resources to be able to pay for a good defense, a life sentence will be passed down. That so many of the death sentences are given because people didn't have good defense attorneys, because you're not represented well. And so, you know, we see that as also being a huge issue.
11:30 on the Wake Up Calls. We're talking about the death penalty nationally, but also specifically in Virginia with Beth Penelitis. Beth, you mentioned money. Here's a caller who, Sarah from Levinson, does not want her taxes to pay for a murderer's meals and housing in prison. She doesn't care that states with no death penalty have lower murder rates.
I understand that feeling, because I have to say that I have a similar feeling about having my tax dollars go towards executions. What's interesting is that it may not seem to make sense, but actually having the death penalty is more expensive than sentencing someone to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Because the system is not just, okay, you know what, you're sentenced to death, we execute you, versus we sentence you to life and you're in prison forever. The cost of an initial trial in a capital case varies from state to state, but many places have found that it's 3, 5, 10 times more expensive to try a capital case versus a comparable non-capital case. So those initial trial costs are a huge factor. Additionally, you have the appeals costs, which you can't take those away without it being unconstitutional, and so the appeals costs will always be there. So you're finding a system that will always be more expensive to have the death penalty versus not have it. And a lot of the states that are discussing abolishing the death penalty, or states like New Mexico that did abolish the death penalty, one of the main arguments that has been used to get rid of it is to save tax dollars. Both New Jersey and New Mexico, which got rid of their death penalty, put in place, let's redirect those resources where they're going to actually matter. New Mexico, there was a bill with their abolition bill to redirect those resources to help victims, to do victims assistance, and really help people with their healing, opposed to just having this all of the focus being on the offender. So it's surprising, but getting rid of the death penalty will actually save your tax dollars, Sarah.
979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS as we talk about the death penalty nationally and in Virginia. Beth, you say that it's more expensive. Well, isn't the VADP helping to make it more expensive to have someone on death row rather than just letting it happen?
Okay. I don't think I understand your question.
Well, if the VADP did not exist, wouldn't that lessen the cost of a prisoner on death row?
Not necessarily. I mean, those costs are really there because of what is in the statute of what you have to have as far as a capital trial. You know, you're going to have more defense attorneys, which most are court-appointed. You're going to have more prosecutors. You're going to have more expert witnesses. That's really part of what the Virginia statute calls for. And as far as the appeals process, it's what's called for in the Virginia Constitution and, you know, in the U.S. Constitution. So regardless, I think, of what VADP is or isn't doing, those costs really have to be there because they're the safeguards that have been put in place. And you look at those 139 men and women who have been exonerated, and thank goodness those safeguards were put in place, because if they weren't, those would be 139 innocent people who would have been killed.
All right, we are talking about the death penalty here with Beth Penelitis. She's the executive director of VADP. Let me take a moment and thank Salad Creations for allowing us to be here today. You can find them at 110 5th Street in Charlottesville, off the east end of the downtown mall. At Salad Creations, you can choose from Caesar and Cobb salads, as well as salads with free-range chicken, turkey, and even wild Alaskan salmon. Now at Salad Creations, it's their new hot panini creations, like the chicken Italiano or the triple grilled cheese. Fresh is fabulous, said Salad Creations. And upcoming soon, it's Salad Creations in Harrisonburg at Port Republic Road. Also online, saladcreations.net. All right, back with Beth Penelitis. Beth, here's a couple questions from folks listening today. 979-0919, by the way, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Through the internet, WNRN Studio, and in an instant message through AOL. All right, Beth, in these economic times, who will pay for reintegrating a murderer back into society?
Well, we actually, VADP is opposed to the death penalty. We're not opposed to prison. I firmly believe that there are people who commit crimes that should not be walking back out on the streets. And so when we talk about an alternative, we actually talk about life in prison without the possibility of parole. And that's a way that we can keep citizens safe. It's less expensive than having the death penalty. And, you know, people wouldn't necessarily be reintegrated into society. I'm not sure if that necessarily answers your question to the caller, but that's, reintegration is not something that we're advocating right now.
All right. Phone line keeps ringing. I see 979 is ringing now. The toll-free number is still open. Here's another question, Beth. What about the commandment, thou shalt not kill? Is there an exception for state executions?
We don't see an exception for it. And VADP is not a religious organization, but we work very, very closely with several faith communities. I think I mentioned earlier the Virginia Catholic Conference and the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, along with individual faith communities. And although we don't necessarily advocate against the death penalty, based on moral grounds. So many of our members, so many people we work with, do use those arguments and are opposed to the death penalty because it is taking a life. And regardless of who you are, whether you're an individual, you don't have the right to take a life. And if you're the state, you don't have the right to take a life. And one of the things that we don't talk a lot about in this debate is the fact that someone has to actually do the execution. And there's a man named Jerry Givens who was the executioner for Virginia for many, many years. He presided over, I believe, 65 or 67 executions in the 80s and in the 90s, both electrocution and lethal injection. And after that many executions, he ended up leaving the DOC and came out as a staunch opponent to the death penalty. And hearing him speak, you know, he talks about the fact that regardless of if, you know, the governor doesn't intervene and a court and a jury hands down this sentence, they are not going to have to be the people who carry it out. There is always an individual who is going to have to kill another individual, regardless of if it's legal, regardless of if it's, you know, done by the state. This is something that Jerry and every other executioner is going to have to live with. And we don't think that there should be an exception to, you know, the commandment of not taking a life. And that's not a judgment that we necessarily have the power to pass.
All right, make your call, ask your question, make your comment, 979-0919. We are talking about the death penalty with the executive director of VADP, Beth Penelitis.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
The search for missing Virginia Tech student Morgan Harrington came to a heartbreaking conclusion when her body was discovered Tuesday on a farm in southern Albemarle County. As her parents grieve, the hunt for answers begins. Feeling stressed, Dr. Hook reviews the top culprits for bringing about high blood pressure and offers some tips for relief. And there's another blind date challenge, always my favorite part of The Hook. The Hook, on newsstands now, love, chocolates, and The Hook. And Blue Ridge Graphics supports us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and online, brgtshirts.com. And it's 1140 here on the Wake Up Call. And coming up at noon, it's Drew Thompson with Les Temps Perdue. If French is it your thing here at the station, that's The Time's Gone By. And on WNRN, 80s and 90s alternative music. Tune in for it at noon. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, Beth, you doing okay?
I'm doing great.
All right. I'm going to read this. Can I read this straight up without going through it first? All right. Beth, a caller from Appomattox recalls the shootings from last week. Local residents are happy to bear extra costs to see this guy executed. Does he even deserve a trial?
I cannot imagine the pain that those folks in Appomattox are going through. And I am so sorry for your loss. And I know that there's a lot of fear that's running through that community at this point. As far as your question of does he deserve a trial, I think that we need to sometimes take a step back and look at it from a little bit of a larger perspective, that if we are going to be a just, fair society, we can't make those decisions based on one person and not the other, and that, you know, we've decided not to have sort of this revenge justice happen, you know, that no one is allowed, even after a horrific crime is committed, to go out and kill that person. No matter how much, you know, that is the initial feeling that someone might have, as a society, we say that we can't do that. And I think in order to stay as a whole, complete society, we do need to have these procedures in place to have a trial, to have even the appeals process, to make sure that, that justice truly is served.
Well, let's. I want to get to the case of Justin Wolf, but let me talk about this first. There are two recent Supreme Court decisions within the last couple of years, correct? One of which is Atkins v. Virginia, that bans executing those with mental retardation. I mean, Virginia still did that, correct? Even if someone had a lower mental IQ, they could be executed. And I'm aware of sort of the base information with the killings in Appomattox. But if that person was found to be mentally retarded in some manner, wouldn't anyone want to find that out before executing them?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I think we don't necessarily know about offenders when a crime takes place, and looking at that. I mean, looking at mental health, looking at mental retardation is really important, and sometimes incredibly difficult to take that step back and look at it. But, you know, we do have to abide by those laws. And the Supreme Court making the Atkins decision in 2002 was a major step to say, you know, we aren't going to execute people who don't have the cognitive ability to completely understand what they're doing. And what the threshold for that is generally an IQ that's below 70. That's what we use in Virginia. And the second decision, which may shock some people, was Roper v. Simmons, which was a Supreme Court decision that said we cannot execute juveniles. And before that decision, which was in 2005, a few states, Virginia being one of them, still had it on the books that it was okay to execute someone who committed a crime under the age of 18. And so, you know, we did put to death people who were 16 and 17 years old, which is no longer the practice, thankfully, because we do, you know, the more research that's done about brain development and, you know, people at even at 18 aren't necessarily don't have full brain development, and so to be executing someone who is definitely not at that level is something that the Supreme Court thankfully said is not constitutional.
And to the caller in Appomattox, you know, I mentioned the Hooks main article this week about Morgan Harrington. I think a lot of people in this area and in Roanoke, the family of the Harringtons, can, you know, are suffering the same feelings. And, you know, I have no comment for you other than, you know, I hope that that gets better. Whether you're for or against the death penalty, that's a very traumatic set of emotions to be dealing with for everybody throughout the state. Beth Penelitis here, our guest today, Executive Director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Call up 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free number. Sean McCord here today to patch you through. Beth, let's talk about Justin Wolf. We promoted the fact that we would have this discussion today about Justin. Give us a little background.
Justin Wolf was convicted at the age of 20 of murder for hire. And it was a terrible crime where an individual was shot. The actual perpetrator of that crime who did the shooting did confess. He fled to California, was brought back, and confessed to it, and was actually told, you know, was threatened with the death penalty, and was told if, you know, if there was anyone else involved in the crime, that a deal potentially could be made. At that point, he fingered Justin Wolf and said that Justin had hired him to do this killing. Owen Barber was the trigger man. He ended up receiving not a death sentence, he didn't receive a life sentence either. He ended up, I think his suspended sentence amounted to 38 years. And he was 22 at the crime, so will be out at least with some semblance of a life afterwards. Justin, on the other hand, was convicted, sentenced to death, primarily on Owen Barber's testimony. A few years after that happened, so Justin was still sitting on death row, Owen signed a 14-page signed a sworn affidavit saying Justin had nothing to do with the crime, and laid out a detailed account of what actually happened, which cleared up some of the issues and inconsistencies, that it really made sense what Owen was saying at that point. However, that was, I believe, in 2005 or 2006 that Owen signed that document. Justin Wolf still sits on Virginia's death row. There's been some developments in his case. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals sent his case back to district court to say, you know, you really need to look at this evidence because this is a huge issue, that there are such questions of innocence. And so there hasn't been any movement from the district court at this point. But it's a really terrifying story about how wrongful convictions really can happen.
Well, I know that this used to be an issue. I don't know that it still is. But Virginia has or had a rule that new evidence could not be offered after 90 days. Is that correct?
Well, that rule actually used to be 21 days for capital cases. It has been changed. But yes, it's a very short time frame to be able to introduce any new evidence. And so, you know, this evidence of Justin's came up a few years later, and so the only avenue for him to actually prove his innocence is to go through the appellate process and appeal on procedural grounds, not on "I'm innocent, here's this new evidence." There had to be procedural flaws within his trial to really open the door to even looking at that new evidence. And it's one of the issues and why, you know, a lot of those people who have been wrongfully convicted, even when evidence comes up of their wrongful conviction, that it can take months, sometimes years, before they're actually released because of the procedural issues within the system.
11:50 here on the Wake Up Call, WNRN. Feel free to call up, make your comment, ask your question, 979-091-1877-WNRN Rocks is the toll-free number. And guest today, Executive Director of Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty, Beth Penelitis. Beth, does Justin Wolf have an execution date yet? Because one of the things I've always found making me want to throw up, to be graphic about it, is that Virginia allows you to set an execution date before your appeals process is over.
Yeah, Virginia, there's two automatic sort of execution dates that are set. The first is set almost immediately after one's conviction, really before the appeals process, you're very far at all. That execution date is set. It's in some ways a false execution date, that it's very rare that anyone would actually be executed at that point. But it's one of the things that does speed up the process a little, because the defense has to quickly file to stop the execution and then also file their next appeal. The second execution date that is set, that is generally a real date, is after the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals rules on a case. There's the final appeals process, or appeal step, is the U.S. Supreme Court, and defendants have until a certain date that they can file with the U.S. Supreme Court. Almost immediately after the Fourth Circuit rules, though, Virginia will set an execution date, and there's been many issues with this where actually the U.S. Supreme Court has had to act very quickly or stay in execution. And they've, in some of the opinions they've written, they've kind of slapped Virginia on the wrist of saying, don't make us rush to make this incredibly crucial decision of if we want to hear this or not, by wanting to rush into setting execution dates. And to my knowledge, Virginia is the only state that actually does that so quickly and really tries to skate by past the appeals process.
So not your hope, but your true expectation as to whether or not Justin Wolf actually is released, or I guess not released because he did actually commit a crime, but do you believe that he will actually be taken off of death row or will actually, you know, suffer the consequences?
Absolutely. My hope is that he will be taken off of death row. The fact that the Fourth Circuit, and they, I have to note that they ruled unanimously, which very rarely happens, in his favor, that I think there is a good chance that the truth will come out, and that it does open the door, to his exoneration from this crime. It will be a slow process, and generally when there are developments in his case, we keep our website, www.vadp.org, updated with that information. And so please feel free to check that out.
11:53 in the wake-up call. Time for another question or comment, if you'd like. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Beth Penelitis, Executive Director of VADP, here today as we talk about the death penalty. Beth, you mentioned early on about the current legislature, Virginia General Assembly, six bills. I'd like to know what those bills are, and I'd like to know about the new governor, Bob McDonnell, and what his thoughts are on the death penalty, with him being the attorney general for the past several years.
Well, to answer your first question, there are six bills that will all expand the death penalty in some ways. Some of those bills are duplicates, one in the House, one in the Senate. One that I mentioned earlier is redefining the quote-unquote trigger man rule, which would amount to Virginia being able to execute accomplices, people who were accessories after the fact, things like that. And the others are expansion that would include the murder of certain individuals, including EMS personnel, fire marshals, firefighters, special forest wardens, that we're really getting into this territory of, you know, we think that your life is more valuable than someone else's life. And in the past, we, in the capital murder statute, we've included people who are law enforcement, and we are going way beyond that, and it's not people who really are doing anything with law enforcement. I don't want to speak for the governor as far as what his feelings are on the death penalty, but he has made comments to the press about how he's not only in favor of the death penalty, but in favor of death penalty expansion, which Governor Kaine has vetoed expansion bills in the past, actually every year during his term, which we do not anticipate Governor McDonnell vetoing any bills that might come across his desk to expand the death penalty.
Regardless of an individual's or listener's feelings about it, can someone go to the VADP website and get more information on the bills and the legislature, your personal representative or state senator to write to them?
Absolutely. I encourage you to check out our website. Regardless of your feelings, I think it's an important thing for Virginians to really understand the death penalty in our state. And so there is information on all of these bills, along with fact sheets and information on how to contact your legislator. So please visit the website and feel free to contact us.
All right. It is this is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just a few minutes left in the program today, 11:56 on the wake-up call with Beth Penelitis. She's the executive director of VADP, Virginians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty. Beth, again, we know what your hopes are, but if Virginia has six bills out there to expand the death penalty and is number two nationally in terms of executions committed in the last 30 years or so, it seems like you have a lot of work ahead of you.
We do have a lot of work ahead of us, but things have been rapidly changing as far as the death penalty nationwide. You know, New Mexico is not this incredibly liberal state that, you know, everyone saw it coming that they would get rid of their death penalty. And I think people would be surprised at the states that are very close to ending the death penalty, like Montana and Colorado and Kansas. You know, we're not talking about New England or the West Coast. These are places who are really looking at the issues and saying, it's not worth it for us. And Virginia might not be at that point yet, but I think there is this shift in momentum of saying, you know what, let's look at alternatives. Let's look at things that actually can protect people. Let's divert those resources to law enforcement, to victims' family members, to things that will make us, make our community safer. And so I don't anticipate Virginia abolishing the death penalty this year or next year, but it definitely is in our future. You know, I think we're going to join the worldwide community where the majority of Western countries have moved away from the death penalty.
And at the end, something I should have asked very early on, the number of states that still have the death penalty versus those that do not.
There's 35 states that still have the death penalty.
And you're talking about a handful that appear to be taking it off the books somewhat soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Virginia.
Yeah, we anticipate to see several in the next 2 years take it off the books.
All right. Beth Penelitis, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate you. Appreciate you participating from a snowy Richmond. All right, boys and girls, thank you for listening. Lots of good calls and questions. Turning it over to Mike C., who's going to be doing the Les Temps Purdue today. Drew stuck over the mountain. Next week, Waldo Jakewith will be here. We'll be talking about what's going on in the Virginia legislature. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.